This morning's responsive reading has come from Psalm number 50. So if you want to join us and follow along, we invite you to take your copy of your Bible and turn with us to Psalm number 50. In this particular edition of the Authorized Version, under the heading Psalm 50, it simply has a Psalm of Asaph. So apparently, this is not something that seems to be attributed to David directly, but to this gentleman or this person known as Asaph. I've entitled this simply based on verse 1, The God Who Speaks. The God Who Speaks. You know, there are many gods in this world. All you got to do is study a little bit of ancient history, study even modern history, and you will come to realize that though men claim to be atheist or agnostic in their thinking of God or no God, the bottom line is all men worship something. If it's not a particular deity, if it's not the God that's revealed in Scripture, people will eventually worship themselves or the things that they make, and they deify these objects, and then they give their entire life and their energy over to these gods whom men have created. But in Psalm 50, we are introduced to the God of Scripture, the Creator, the Provider, the Sustainer of all that He has made. Notice, the Mighty God, so notice how He's being defined. He's Mighty or Almighty. Even the Lord, all capital, this is the name, the holy name of God, normally pronounced Yahweh, okay, when it's in caps. The Mighty God, the word God is the word Elohim that we are introduced in the very first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, Elohim created, etc. The Mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. And as you begin to plow into Psalm 50, you see these references. Sometimes it's veiled, or sometimes it's quite evident. For instance, verse 3, Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. And when I look at that verse 3, my mind automatically propels itself to the burning bush, where Moses has an encounter with this same mighty God. And the bush is consumed in fire, and yet it is not destroyed. And yet from that fiery bush emanates a voice. Moses, Moses, take off thy shoes, because the ground upon which you are standing is holy ground. It's holy turf. And then we see, again, God speaking through the fire. Verse 4, He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that He may judge His people. And so we see that God is a God who has revealed Himself, and He does so by the spoken word. And I think that's an element in modern Western Christianity, that somehow we think that God is some inanimate object. Beloved, He's a being. He's a God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We refer to these as the three persons of the Trinity. And there are certain portions, especially in the Old Testament, and then some of these portions are then quoted in the New Testament by the New Testament writer, where God is speaking to God. The Father is speaking to the Son. And the Son, in turn, responds to the Father. And you find these conversations within the Godhead, if you will, recorded in Scripture. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, all three persons of the Godhead are manifested. The Father, notice, speaks. The Son is being baptized. He's being initiated into His public ministry. We would call that Inauguration Day. And then the Holy Spirit appears in the form of a dove and rests upon Him. Then we see Jesus Himself going about from town to town, from mountainside to maybe the seaside. What is He doing? Proclaiming His Father's word. He speaks. He speaks to the storm and the waves, and they are still. He speaks to the demons and commands them to leave, and they leave. God who speaks. The God that is revealed in Scripture, beloved, is not mute. He's not gagged. He speaks openly and with power. Verse 8, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice, all thy burnt offerings that have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, no he-goats out of thy fields. Notice, I will not reprove thee. Well, how do you do that? Well, you can either do it in a written letter, or you can do it with the spoken word. And then there's something about this God that is revealed to us that I think we really don't get a grasp. Notice this in verse 12. This is God speaking. And again, this is, to me, language of condescension. If I were hungry, if it was possible for God to be hungry, I would not tell thee. Why? Well, the world is mine in the fullness thereof. Now, when the second member of the Godhead left heaven and came to dwell amongst us in a human body, he did experience hunger. He did experience thirst. And he both consumed food and drank as well in his humanity. Okay? But here's God, who is spirit, as he's revealing himself here in the Old Testament text, and says, oh, by the way, if I were hungry. Now, to me, I want a word that if I even had a need, if God did have a need, if it was possible for this Almighty God to even possess or have a need, he would not even ask you and I about it, because he could take care of it himself. Notice this, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Well, that's a prayer that's kind of tucked into the psalm. Notice, God is speaking to us. He says, call upon me in the day of adversity, in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. And then in verses 16, there's a shift. But unto the wicked God speaks. So it would seem that the first 15 verses is God speaking to his people. And then in verses 16 and following, God directs his conversation to those who reject him. So again, the God who speaks, the God who has revealed himself. So the bottom line is that there is no excuse at all. There is none under heaven. When men say, well, I don't know who God is. I don't know whether God even exists. God has spoken. And the volume of his words are contained in this book that we hold so dear to us. But unto the wicked God saith, he speaks, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? God is saying, why do you even think about following me, right? Notice, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee. Why does the unbeliever bother in putting on a show and getting a little bit of religion when God says to that same person, you really have no desire to follow me. You really have no desire to take up your cross and follow me. You have no desire to become one of my disciples. When thou sorrowest a thief, then thou contestest with him and hast been partaker with adulteries. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. So here God is bringing up accusation or charges against the wicked, when at the same time they're trying to fake a little bit of religiosity. And that runs rampant in our culture today. People think just because you got a few dashes of religion that makes you okay. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I will, notice, reprove thee, the God who speaks. and set them in order before thine eyes. So yes, there may be times and seasons when we think God is silent, but he's really not silent. He's waiting for the appropriate time and the appropriate moment to bring forth his word. So there we have the God who speaks. May his name forever be praised. Amen.